This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be doing our regular landlord-tenant program. I think you're probably familiar with that. And my guests are two great friends of both KLW Public Radio and you, who are listeners of this station. Landlord-tenant attorneys Mark Seidenfeld, whose office is in San Bruno, and Sal Timpano, whose office is in San Francisco. Gentlemen, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Always a pleasure.
Wonderful to have you here. Your Legal Rights is funded by a number of organizations, including the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Let's do this. Let's talk a little bit about what San Francisco, I think, is, and I'm not a landlord-tenant attorney, but my understanding is the rents are sky high. If you're someone who doesn't have a terrific income, but all of a sudden something's happening and your building is being sold or something like that, you may have to move. Sal, what are you seeing? Because you have a very active practice in the city.
Yeah, Chuck, I am noticing that when properties change hands, tenants are very nervous. They're concerned about what the new owner intends to do with the property, and of course they're not told that in the sales process because they're not part of the transaction in that way. And a lot of times, what new owners want to do is get back control of the units. So tenants in buildings are subject to Ellis Acts. They're subject to owner move-ins. And they're also subject to rent increases if their units are outside of rent control. And sometimes those units have had very low rent for a very long time simply because the landlords didn't raise the rents. And then the new landlords come in and they have a high mortgage and they've got a lot of bills to pay on the property. All the expenses go up. Even things like insurance go up with the new owners because, you know, change of hands even there. And they pass that on to the tenants who, if are not protected by rent control, can see their rent go up 30, 40, 50%, maybe even more.
But if a building is covered by rent controls, the San Francisco Rent Control Ordinance, and it is sold, those tenants are still protected, are they not?
They're protected by the rent control provisions, but not necessarily by the eviction control provisions. They can still be evicted through owner move-in or Ellis Act.
Okay.
So those are still there.
Would you explain briefly, if you would, the Ellis Act? Now, that's a statewide law, is it not?
Ellis Act is statewide law. San Francisco has some additional controls that are applied to it through the rent ordinance. But essentially, it's a provision that allows a landlord to get out of the rental business on that particular piece of property. So they give the tenant a four-month notice, and the tenant has to move within the four-month period.
So is this legitimate? I mean, if the landlord says, I want to get out of the rent business, what are these landlords doing when they go ahead with the Ellis Act?
Any times they're going to sell the units as individual TICs. Right, we've talked about this
before. TIC is what?
Tenancy in common unit.
I see.
Where it's like a condominium.
Okay.
Except it's not a condo approved by the state, but it's treated as a condominium by the owners. So if it's a four-unit building, you have four tenancies in common, and each of those units treat themselves and the other units in the building as individual pieces of property.
In the Ellis Act, does the owner of the building have to represent to the state that he or she or they are going to move in themselves, or is that necessary?
It's not necessary.
What does someone do if they feel and Mark, you've been doing this, been a great friend of public radio listeners for many, many years. I'd like you both to talk a little bit about this. What if a tenant believes, and let's talk perhaps both about the rent ordinance and perhaps about state law. If a tenant believes that the landlord is doing something in violation of the tenancy, what can the tenant do?
Well, to some extent, it depends on where they are. But in the Bay Area, there are many, many resources for tenants. In San Francisco, we have an organization called the San Francisco Rent Board. which is supposed to be an impartial enforcer, if you will, of the San Francisco rent ordinance. That ordinance contains tremendous protections for tenants. The rent board
– Only in the county of San Francisco,
this
though.
This is in the county of San Francisco.
Okay.
But Oakland has a rent board. Berkeley has a rent board. San Jose has one. There are rent controls in other cities in the Bay Area. Hayward has an ordinance.
And throughout the state, I know.
Oh, yeah. In L.A. and Santa Monica, West L.A.,
Palo
other
Alto
places.
Maybe, too.
They're talking about it even in Burlingame and San Mateo, if you can imagine.
Really?
The rents in the peninsula have skyrocketed, particularly in the past year, and there's been tremendous agitation, demonstrations at the city council meetings. It's been in the newspapers on the peninsula.
Sure, sure.
But in any event, there are all sorts of remedies for tenants, and the rent boards are a good source of information. But also there are all sorts of legal aid and associations, groups in the city and elsewhere that will provide representation for tenants. Mm-hmm. And tenants have rights. And I think most tenants in the Bay Area tend to be very well educated on their rights. But if they're not, their friends and neighbors will be. And there are all sorts of resources. As
so if a city or a county has a rent ordinance, and as you've just mentioned, there are many in the state of California, there are protections that a tenant has in terms of going to his or her or their rent board and saying, here's what's happening. Can you help me on this? What if you have a situation where a property is not covered by a rent ordinance but is covered under state law?
Sure.
So what's the situation there? If someone has a lease, a written lease that covers a period of time and it includes certain terms about what the rent is per month and it's for a year or two or three – certainly, unless there are specific provisions in the written lease that says the landlord can increase the rent by so much percent per year, if a landlord tries to increase the monthly rent and there's not a provision like that, what can a tenant do, Sal?
Oh, so there the tenant would simply not pay the increase. But, you know,
what if the landlord then, who's very aggressive, decides to issue some kind of an eviction notice,
and they may try to do that. In that event, the tenant should call an attorney. You know, either call the San Francisco Bar Association or an attorney that they know that practices landlord tenant, and probably immediately send a letter to the landlord saying you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's in violation of my lease. And if that's not enough, just prepare to defend the unlawful detainer, and probably win. You know, because the lease would govern it, and you know, the state law is applicable to the leases for properties that are not under rent control, and under state law, the landlord has to abide by the term in the lease.
And usually, I would assume throughout the state of California that the lease agreements have a provision, a paragraph there that talks about if a lawsuit is brought, the winner of the lawsuit is also entitled to attorney's fees, or am I going too far on that, Mark?
I think you're going too far, Chuck.
Oh, am I? Really?
I think in a lot of places that's probably true, but landlord attorneys, I think in places like San Francisco, generally advise their clients not to have a clause like that.
I can understand that.
Because of the circumstances in this city.
Yeah.
I wanted to say also that a rental agreement sets the rent for the term of the lease. But when the lease expires, the same terms carry over month to month unless somebody takes action to change it.
Okay.
And that means the same protections are there, but at that point, the landlord can increase the rent legally, again, assuming lack of rent control.
If you've had statewide, if you would please, on this one, if you've had on a statewide basis, wherever you are, a lease agreement with a landlord, and let's say it's a year, at the end of the year, and there's not an extension of the written lease, the tenant then becomes on a month-to-month tenancy.
Yes.
And if the landlord immediately in that 13th month increases the rent by a certain amount, does that generally under California law, does the tenant have any rights whatsoever?
Well, the landlord can increase the rents. Again, we're assuming a jurisdiction without rent control. But he has to serve an appropriate notice. He has to give you the 30 or 60 days advance notice, depending on the size of the increase. And
when you say 30 or 60, what triggers 60 days
notice? If it's more than 10% increase.
Oh, really?
He has to give a 60-day advance notice.
That's state law.
Yes.
I see. Well, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So that's are landlords at this time, at least with your experience in the Bay Area, are they not interested, excluding for a moment the rent board, rent ordinances, are they not interested in giving people written leases? Mark, you're laughing.
You know, it's a difficult question.
Really, is it?
I think a landlord needs a lease because it sets all sorts of other rules besides just the amount of rent.
Yeah.
It says how many people can live there, whether subleasing is allowed or not, whether parking's included, just a whole range of other issues. You know, no loud noise after 10 o'clock, all sorts of things.
You can't have parties after 10?
Well, there are a lot of them going on, I can tell you. But on the other hand, a year-long lease discourages tenants from leaving early.
Sure.
And typically what's going on in the past few years in this city, at least, when a tenant leaves, even if they've only been there 6 months, the landlord raises the rent and has no trouble filling the apartment.
I see.
So it's a mixed blessing, but I think a landlord does need a lease. I mean, bottom line.
What do you say about that?
No, I think
Sal.
So too, if for nothing else, just to know who's moving in, even if it was just for that reason, to have a record of who's moving in where you can show signatures. Because if it's not written, it's going to be a he said, she said situation.
If a written lease is issued to, let's say, a married couple, and maybe they have a child or two children. However, that couple, because of the economic situation, may feel they have to have someone else come in to help them with the rent at some point down mm-hmm. the road. If the lease focuses on the husband and wife or the couple, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. whether there's a child or not there, and this couple decides that, well, we want to have someone else come in here. We have an extra bedroom here in this unit, and this person can help us pay the rent. What can the landlord do if the landlord finds out about this?
Well, in San Francisco, the law changed recently, and a roommate can be brought in.
Really?
The landlord has
– Even with a provision like that?
Yes. Even with a provision, the landlord has the right to be told. But if they're not told, there really isn't much they can do about it.
Really?
The tenant can bring in a roommate and –
That's under the San Francisco ordinance.
Yes, under the rent ordinance.
What about state law, Mark?
Well, you have to remember that San Francisco is special in so many ways. No. Under state law, if the lease agreement says three people can live here, three people can live there. That's it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? So if someone wants to bring in a fourth person, that's considered possibly a breach of the lease by the tenant. Is that right?
It would be. They always have the option of asking the landlord, of course, for permission.
Oh, I see. Okay. I see. All right. Well, that's kind of interesting. I want to come back for a moment in just a moment or so and talk a little bit about the number of roommates and what one has to do and et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
Okay, everybody. We're going to be very, very short on this, so don't go away with us. As you know, this is the 75th anniversary of KALW. The goal is $375,000. I want to let you know, by the way, I am only 1 year older than KALW, even though I only sound like a kid. Your legal rights has been here for you for actually 28 years. I've been in radio for a period longer than that. And what we have tried to do is we've tried to the mission of the program has been to educate you in what the law can and cannot do for you, how to use self-help in trying to resolve disputes and prevent legal problems, and if you need a lawyer, how to go about finding and choosing a lawyer. And so that's what we have tried to do, and I hope that we have done something to help you in this. If you are, by the way, not a member of KALW, please give consideration that now is the time to become a member and make your contribution to keep the station strong and independent. I consider, and I've been in public radio a long, long time, I consider KALW to be real public radio. It exists because of you, that is the listener, not government money or commercial money. And in case you didn't know this, the station's budget, 72% of that is contributions from listeners. And so if you are not a member of the station, by that meaning that you've made a contribution, please give consideration to it now. The number is 800-525-9917, or go to the website www.kalw.org and make your contribution to this station. Joanne, what do you say?
$50 is our basic membership level. For $120, we can give you California Tenants' Rights, a NOLO Press book written by Janet Portman, protecting your rights as a California renter, free of the legalese. In other words, this book is understandable. 800-525-9917 or online at KALW.org.
Yeah, you don't have to be a lawyer to read this book. It's really very well done, and NOLO is not a funder of this program, never has been, but I'm a great believer in the NOLO Press books. Here's our number in case you'd like to call in and talk with my guests, 866-798-8255. It's toll-free, 866-798-8255. If you've tuned in a little bit late, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our program on landlord-tenant. We try to do this about every 6 weeks or so because it is such a big thing. Frankly, not only in the Bay Area, but throughout the state. So if you have a question, comment, join us with that. I want to let you know who my guests are. These are both real good friends of this station, of mine, and of you. If you've been a listener of this program for any part of the 28 years that I've been doing it on KALW, my guests are landlord-tenant attorneys Mark Seidenfeld and Sal Timpano. And so we're going to start and talk with Allison. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi, Allison. You're on, my dear.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
So I have a complicated situation. I'm putting together a group house. I'm the landlord, but we all live together as group housemates, or we will. And one of them will be our farmer. It's going to be a group house as a CSA, community supported agriculture. So instead of spending $20 or $45 or whatever, and you get a box of random vegetables on your porch, what we do is we subsidize our farmer in one of our group houses. They live here. We give them a place to live for free.
Hmm.
We subsidize their farm school so they learn how to do it properly. And we give them a place to garden, to farm the lot, and then all we really want is to come home to, you know, remarkable vegetables every day.
But, so what is your question?
Right. It's come to my attention that the IRS will decide that I am trading value for service, and they will want to tax that.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Allison, that Mark Seidenfeld is nodding his head up and down, which means, yes, the IRS will. Do you want them to respond to this right now, or do you have something more to say?
No, that's it. I'd like to know how to protect myself, because I think we're doing a good thing here. I just don't see any reason why I have to pay even more money.
Now, you are in Berkeley, is that right?
Yes.
And that's where the group housing is?
Yes.
You know, my recommendation, frankly, to you in light of this and in light of your concerns, have you talked with an attorney at all?
No.
I think you should.
Right. That's why I'm calling you.
Well, yeah, but you know, we cannot take the time to go through all of the ramifications of what you're confronted with. Certainly my guests will respond to you. There's no question about it. But I think you need to make initially a small investment by calling the lawyer referral service for the Alameda County Bar Association and make an appointment to meet with an attorney who represents landlords. You're essentially a landlord, I believe, or are thinking of being a landlord, or maybe you are already. Here's the Alameda County Bar Association number, and I suggest you call and make an appointment. It's 510-302-2222. And did you get that, or do you want me to repeat it?
No, I've got it.
Yeah, and one...
2222, but yeah. What about Mark's phone number?
Well, he'll give you his phone number in a minute. What I think you need to consider is that throughout California, for lawyer referral services, with minor exception, the charge for half an hour, and you need to kind of get a face-to-face, nose-to-nose discussion with a landlord-tenant attorney, is going to be $25 to $35. It's a wonderful investment to get you on the right track. So if you'll turn your radio back up, and I'll have Mark respond to you in just a moment. Mark, do you want to give her your phone number?
First of all, I've always wanted to be able to say this, and now I can. There really are going to be farms in Berkeley. I'm very impressed.
I love that idea, too. Yeah.
Allison, I'm not a tax expert. But anytime there is an exchange where value is given in exchange for something else, it's a taxable transaction.
Yeah.
And I understand your reluctance to get involved with the IRS. But on the other hand, I haven't met many people who are enthusiastic
really?
About paying taxes.
Oh, I'm so surprised about that. You know, so in other words, Mark, what you're suggesting to Allison is that maybe it would be a good idea for her if she's going to call lawyer referral in Alameda County.
Yes.
That's where Berkeley is, in Alameda County, to ask to have an appointment perhaps with a tax attorney.
Exactly. Or conceivably, you might want to talk to a CPA.
Yeah.
I think they're a bit more accessible, perhaps, than tax attorneys tend to be.
And perhaps a little cheaper.
And a little cheaper. Yeah. I didn't want to say that, Chuck.
Well, why not, Mark?
We lawyers.
Yeah.
No, seriously, Allison, I think you really need to talk to somebody who does taxes, and that's definitely not me.
Allison, thank you very much for calling. And the idea of this program is to, because we are limited in time, we can't solve all of the problems, as I'm sure you can appreciate. But we can give you some direction. And that's what I've tried to do, and Mark has. And good luck to you.
Thank you. So, no, I understand. It's kind
okay.
of a complicated all
right.
situation. I
okay.
Here.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for calling, Allison. That's nice to hear from you. All right, everybody, you're being very quiet tonight. Goodness gracious. I don't know why. I mean, my guests here are not going to bite you. They're such lovely people here. We're doing this program live on Wednesday evening, May 11th. And if you're listening to the live program, we have a toll-free number, and I welcome you to call in. Please, again, remember, this is live on Wednesday evening, May 11th, 866-798-8255. If you have a question, whether you're a tenant or a landlord, I greatly welcome you to call in and pose your question, make your comment. If you have something that's really bothering you as either a landlord or a tenant, I think it could be not only helpful for you to call in, but it would be helpful for others who perhaps might have a similar type of situation. So don't hesitate to do that. Let me come back for a moment before we take our next call. And this whole issue of roommates. Now, in San Francisco, using that as an example, rents have become so incredibly high. What's the average now? Can you tell us, Sal?
Most recently, two-bedroom apartment, $4,500 was one that I just spoke
wow.
with a client about.
Incredible.
Two-bedroom apartment, $4,500 in the Mission District
incredible.
With no parking.
With no parking?
With no parking.
So what do these people do with regard to parking?
They don't own a car.
Oh, I yeah, see. Is that right? I
yeah.
see. They use public transportation?
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Wow.
And there's... there's in this particular unit, there's three people together. They're roommates,
yeah.
and they all have good jobs.
Yeah.
And
so that's $1,500 a month for
each
of them.
Yeah. So it becomes affordable that way, but they have to group up to do it.
If you go into a unit, though, if someone goes into a unit and let's say there are three of us, tells the landlord that there are three of us and we're going to share it, and they're not being honest with the landlord because they have maybe another person or two. What are the consequences of that?
Well, it's going to cause friction with the landlord most likely. But under the rent ordinance, tenants are allowed to bring in roommates, to help pay for the rent.
Mm-hmm.
And the landlord pretty much has to agree with it as long as the occupancy does not exceed the occupancy requirements, but you know, the city occupancy requirements.
I see.
So I think a two-bedroom is certified for four people.
Oh, is so, it? I see. Under the rent or under the San Francisco
San Francisco
building codes.
Either building code or fire code.
I see.
There are codes, and it's in more than one code.
Really?
How many people can live
kidding.
In
that's very interesting.
In a space. So they don't. They should get permission, but if they don't, there really aren't any consequences.
What about older persons in San Francisco who have had the benefit of the rent ordinance and have lived in units for a long time, paying a living rent that they could afford? Aren't they getting a lot of pressure lately from landlords in terms of trying to push them out so that the landlords can increase the rent? Or am I making this up?
No. Matter of fact, Mark has said it several times on past programs. The best thing a tenant could do is don't give any excuses.
Because
landlords are looking, you know, they have just causes under the rent ordinance. I think there's, is it 16 or 16?
Yeah,
and they're just looking for one of those 16 to pop up so they can, you know, not all landlords, but a lot of them, especially if a tenant's been there a long time and is paying low rent. It's not personal. It's just business. They want more rent.
Having said that, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but at the same time, I don't think landlords are targeting elderly people. There are sensational cases that make the press, obviously. There have been several recently. But the population of San Francisco has a lot of older people in it, and they're not all being evicted, obviously. So,
yeah.
So what are people doing if they feel that they actually are being pushed out? Where are they going? Where are they going in this area, in the Bay Area? They're leaving San Francisco. Where are they going?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Chuck. Some clients of mine either move in with another, you know, move in with somebody else as a roommate, or they leave San Francisco. The peninsula is not a good place to go. I think most recently a client of mine said that they were going to move to Bakersfield.
To Bakersfield.
So obviously, they got a job there too.
Obviously, rents are a lot cheaper.
Yes.
But in the area, people are generally moving to the East Bay, some to Oakland, and but Oakland is gentrifying and rents are going up there also. People are moving to Richmond, to Antioch, places like that.
All right, everybody. This is your legal rights. I want to make you feel comfortable, and I hope I can by feeling you can call in, ask my guests questions, make comments, have a chance to talk with them. Our toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255, and we'll be taking your calls in just a minute. My guests are great friends of this station and this program and of you if you've been a listener for a while. They are landlord-tenant attorneys Sal Timpano, whose office is in San Francisco, and Mark Seidenfeld, whose office is in San Bruno. And I suggest that if you do have a question or a comment, that you join us. Joanne, what magic numbers do you have for the listeners? Because it is the 75th anniversary of KALW. This is a very significant time. This is the oldest station this side of the Rockies. It is the first public radio station in the West. The goal of the station is $375,000. This is their May campaign. It is Wednesday evening, second day of the campaign. And in case you didn't know it, the budget for KLW is based on you, the listeners who are members of the station. 72% of the budget is from you, the listeners. And we want you to be, if you're not yet a member, we want you to be a member. How do they do that, Joanne?
The number to call is 800-525-9917. That's 800-KALW-917. Our basic membership level is $50. If you can afford a little more, give us a dollar a day or a dollar for every year we've been on the air.
Ooh, that'd be good, yeah.
75 for 75. A $75 contribution would be a great way to say happy birthday to KALW at 800-525-9917. We have a goal of five five of you calling in at 800-KALW-917 or going online, making a contribution that way at KALW.org.
Please contribute what you can to keep KALW healthy and vital to our community and to continue to provide what I think we all consider to be real public non-commercial radio. That's why I am so proud to be a part of this station and have been for 28 years, although I'm only 35 years of age. No, I'm just joking, everybody. I've been around a lot longer than that. If KLW is a positive presence in your daily life, and just think about what would you do if you didn't hear KLW, the programs on KLW. If you like what it stands for and what it creates, join the people who make it happen. That means become a member if you're not already a member. Every single contribution makes a difference, and when you give to KLW, you are helping support the future of public radio. And I think it's terribly important. I want to make sure that this station does not revert or convert to commercialism. We want to keep this a listener-supported station. So it's up to you to help us do that. And the number to call, the toll-free number, 1-800-525-9917, or you can go to the website, www.klw.org, and click on the donate button and help the station. Joanne, complete, if you would, our little piece right here, will you?
Well, if you're... feeling flush, you might want to consider a donation to KALW in honor of your legal rights. A $120 contribution will get you the California Tenants' Rights Handbook by Janet Portman. And get this book. You can protect your rights as a California renter without any of the legalese because it's written in plain English. 800-525-9917. You can put that $120 contribution, $10 a month on our monthly installment plan, 800-KALW-917 or online, KALW.org.
Okay, everybody. I want to now remind you, if you've tuned in just the last minute or last couple of minutes, the toll-free number for talking to my guests is 866-798-8255, Sal Timpano and Mark Seidenfeld. And Grace, welcome to the program.
Hi. I have a small in-law apartment in San Francisco. It's in a small house, so it's illegal. And my son has been renting it from me, and he's going to sublet it, and it indefinitely. Is that allowed? First of all, that's my first question. Is an indefinite sublet permitted if it's by a family member?
This is a single-family residence, Grace?
Yeah.
The city is full of illegal in-laws, and they're more than tolerated. I think the city likes them because there's such a housing shortage. Yeah. But the bottom line is once somebody's in a unit for 30 consecutive days, they're a tenant, and their tenancy continues forever unless some action is taken to terminate it. So the short answer to your question is yes, it's an indefinite tenancy.
If it's a sublet.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can't do, and also, what if I did a written, my own rental agreement, you know, not using an eight-page city lease?
Well, you can do it, but I don't recommend it. It's worth going out and getting a decent lease because there are so many issues that you may not think about that a real lease will cover and that you probably wouldn't.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Grace, thank you very much for calling, and I'm going to give you a phone number that might be helpful to you in just a moment. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, and I know, Grace, you are in San Francisco, if you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer, and I highly recommend it in your situation, Grace. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. And this is now both in San Francisco and also for those of you in Marin County. And that's something fairly new. For a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services of the San Francisco Bar, here's the number, Grace, 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. And one of the things that I have told all of you that have been regular listeners of the program is if you may have a legal problem or anticipate it or someone close to you has, possibly a legal problem. I suggest that you have a pen or a pencil and a piece of paper, because I do regularly give phone numbers that may be of help to you in terms of the next step you may take. If you are down in the San Mateo County Bar Association area, that's San Mateo County, it also has a lawyer referral service, and here's that number, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. And throughout California, because this program is heard besides KLW, it's heard on 15 stations throughout California, and Radio Bilingue, which is a network of stations. And that in the half hour is played the following week, so next week. So every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service, and you can call your own during normal business hours, tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced, that is an attorney who's experienced, and set you up for a half an hour consultation. And one of the things that I think is terrific with regard to lawyer referral is that, with minor exception, for a half an hour consultation throughout most of the bar associations in California, nearly all of them, you'll pay $25 to $35 for half an hour. It's a great way to start. So that's something I highly recommend to you. And by the way, something for those of you in the Bay Area, particularly San Mateo County, from a convenience standpoint, this Friday, May 13th, the San Mateo County Law Library will have a free noontime lecture entitled Same-Sex Estate Planning and Tax Issues in the Wake of Supreme Court Decisions. That'll take place at the San Mateo County Law Library at noon on Friday, May 13th at 710 Hamilton Street in Redwood City. And if you need directions to get there or want to get more information, that number is, you want to jot this down, 650-363-4913. In the last couple of years or so, there have been two major U.S. Supreme Court cases. One is the United States versus Windsor. The other one last June, was Obergefell versus Hodges, both related to same-sex couples. And some of the major questions that you will find if you go to this free lecture are the following. Should we marry? Should we register as California state domestic partners? And what will be happening to domestic partnership anyway? Do we need to review anything in our estate plan? And in parentheses, probably yes. How does this affect our taxes? And five, what changed when Obergefell was decided in June 2015? So you're invited to attend this free lecture and bring a bag lunch. It's at noon at the Law Library in Redwood City. That's 710 Hamilton Street in Redwood City. Again, Friday, May 13th at noon. If you want more information or you want to let them know you're coming, the number is 650-363-4913. 650-363-4913. And we have, at this point, Kagan. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a old house in San Francisco, and I'm the owner, and I like four rooms, and I want to get roommates, but I'm worried about the rent control. Like, how do I get roommates so that, you know, once they stay 30 days, do they have the same rights as long as I live in the same house in one of the rooms? Does it make any difference?
Sal Timpano.
Sure. If you get one roommate and you live in the same house, you would be able to evict that roommate without reference to the rent ordinance. You would be able to evict much as you would under state law if you live in the unit with that one roommate. If you bring on two roommates, that may change, because they're each going to have their own room. Because I think you said it was a two- or three-bedroom?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you've got, let's say you live in there and you've got three other roommates, the rent board may look at that situation as a multiple-unit building where you're sharing the common areas. And to get a clearer answer to that, you would just call the San Francisco Rent Board. They have a hotline, and you would ask them Is there a difference for you as an owner, live-in roommate, if you have one roommate or two or three? With one, I know that you can evict without just cause. When you have two, you may not be able to.
I just want to add that in order to do that, to escape the eviction control, you need to notify the prospective tenant, the prospective roommate, in advance in writing that he will not have the protection of the ordinance in terms of eviction control.
Okay, very good to know. Thank you so much. May I have another question?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead.
On the same house. So this is I have a right to build like four stories in this lot. So I'm planning not to demolish what I have, but build on top of it. So those new floors, would they be subject to, like, this is an old house, 100 years old. Would they be considered new construction or old construction? Would it, the new floors, would it be subject to the same constraints?
Would those new floors be separate units with kitchens and bathrooms, or would they be additional bedrooms?
They would be separate units, new units.
Oh, okay. The answer to that is they're probably going to be outside of rent control.
Really? That's interesting.
Yep. Most likely will be outside of rent control.
Why is that, Sal?
Because they're new construction with new certificate of occupancy for a totally separate unit, though they're built on top of the other.
That's very interesting. Unit.
And I would suggest if when you do that, to also go to the rent board and ask them for a decision on that. They'll have a platform for you to have an administrative law judge review that for you and give you a decision. What I don't know is if you have to have it built before they'll do it. You may have to have it built before they do it. So then, then it's more important that you know the right answer. But you should call them on that as well. But I'm pretty sure that those are going to be because they're going to have their own separate kitchen and bathroom, those are going to be outside of the rent ordinance as new construction.
Kagan, let me ask you this. You have not sought the advice of an attorney yet. Is that right?
I haven't. No.
No.
The construction is still a waste.
So. Yeah. Listen. What I think, you've got in my opinion, and I'm not a landlord attorney, but I've been practicing law for a long time. I'm a consumer advocate. I've helped people who have had problems in the consumer area, both as a deputy district attorney and also doing this program for actually, believe it or not, 32 years, 28 of which are at KLW. I think it is important for you, frankly, and I am not trying to find money for attorneys. Believe it, I am not. I think it's very important for you since you and my guests are saying, Chuck, what are you doing here?
What's wrong with that, Chuck?
Kagan, you're in San Francisco. I do think that you should call the San Francisco Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and make an appointment to meet with a landlord-tenant attorney who represents landlords. Half an hour at least, and you'll pay $35. It's a great way to start to prepare yourself and educate yourself with what the potential problems may be. Don't do it, in my opinion, don't do it without getting more advice than what my guests have given you. And we can't, and by that, both of these guys are highly experienced landlord-tenant attorneys. But we just don't have the time to cover all of the issues, and I highly recommend that you do that, and good luck to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for calling. Mike, welcome to your legal rights.
Good evening.
Hi.
I live in San Francisco. My issue is that I have two units in San Francisco. I live in a store. I have an apartment, and they're both in the same building. I live in a storefront, and I have an apartment on the third floor. And I'm wondering if, and I've been there for almost 40 years.
Wow.
And my legal address is the storefront.
Mm-hmm.
And I pay one check and everything.
So you're a tenant. You're not an owner of this building.
I am not the owner. I am
okay.
A tenant.
All right.
Can those two units They're separated, but I sleep in one. Well, I sleep in both of them on occasion, but all my cooking is in the storefront. I have no facilities upstairs. PG&E wants to cut off the electricity all the time because there's a clock that works in that unit.
Mm.
That unit is protected under rent control. Can I somehow tie those two units together as my living space? I'm a senior and I'm handicapped.
This is a complicated question. I can tell you that you're probably violating a zoning law or a land use law by living in the storefront. But having said that, the fact that you've been living there, again, for more than 30 days, establishes you as a tenant in that unit, for better or for worse. I'm not sure what else there is to say.
Yeah. You're probably a tenant of that commercial unit and a residential tenant at that, because you're cooking there, sleeping there, and living there. The problem for everybody is that you're paying one rent check for both units. So you would have to have a determination by either an administrative law judge at the rent board or a superior court judge as to how much of your rent is attributed to each of those two units. And you can only claim one unit as a residence. So at some point, you're going to have to make the choice of which one of those you're going to live in.
Well, Mike, go ahead.
It could not be considered a live workspace.
They're not connected.
Separated.
They're not connected.
They're not connected.
Yeah. So that poses a problem. They're two separate units, so it wouldn't be a live workspace.
Mike, a good word of advice: let sleeping dogs lie.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm more than aware, but things are going to come to a head here imminently, and so I understand that. I've let them lie all these years, but things are going to start to occur. And I want to have as much information as I can, and so I appreciate your advice that I have to choose between the two.
Well, Mike, I think again, as I have suggested to a couple of the listeners who've called in, I think at this point, since this is obviously a complicated matter for you, I think you really need to, since you are in San Francisco, I think you really need to also call the lawyer referral service of the San Francisco Bar and get some advice from a landlord-tenant who represents tenants.
I've been to the tenants union.
Oh.
And, and the legal aid for the elderly I'm dealing with also.
Are you? Okay. So you have already begun discussions of this with the legal aid for elders. Is that right?
Yes. I'm trying to.
But have you met with someone there who is a landlord-tenant attorney at legal?
No. I've explained my situation to them, but they've all referred. They've all wanted to consult with other people, and it has moved beyond that level.
Okay,
why I'm calling.
Yeah, here is the thing that I think is important. Landlord-tenant law is a complicated area of the law, as is most legal areas of the law. I think it's very important if you are going to try to get good legal advice, and what you should be doing is, in my opinion, and I've been a lawyer for a long time, I've been a lawyer for 50 years, the last 30 of which have been as a consumer advocate in the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office as a deputy DA, I think you owe it to yourself to contact the lawyer referral service of the San Francisco Bar and make an appointment to meet with an attorney who actually practices landlord-tenant law but represents primarily tenants.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll find this is the best way to do it.
Yeah.
So good luck to you.
Okay, thanks.
Take care.
Appreciate the program.
Thanks. Hey, thanks so much. Thanks. I'm awfully glad you called. All right, we are doing Your Legal Rights. We're doing this program on May 11th. By the way, I want you all to know my birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy
birthday. I couldn't hesitate that. I'm only going to be 37 years old. But in any event, I do want you to be very careful, all of you who may have a problem. I think the lawyer referral service is a great opportunity to try to get some direction. And try not to be cheap. $25 to $35 for a half an hour consultation is a great investment. Okay, let's see who we have. We have Kazoo. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thanks. So my wife and I are thinking about trying to buy some rental property, and from the discussion, it seems like San Francisco is a pretty tenant-friendly area. Are there other areas in the Bay Area that might be a little more landlord-friendly?
Everything south of San Francisco, up to San Jose. In the beginning of the program, I think Mark mentioned San Jose has a rent ordinance. I believe Palo Alto does. But otherwise, I don't think there's any rent ordinances in the rest of the cities in between. You know, Daly City, San Mateo.
What about on the East Bay? What's the situation over there?
Yeah. So in
Alameda
the East
County.
Bay,
Alameda County has a rent ordinance.
Yes, there are Oakland, right?
Oakland,
Mark?
Oakland,
Berkeley.
Berkeley, Hayward.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Hayward, too.
Yeah, they have a rent ordinance also.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I think the other counties don't.
Didn't you guys were mentioning that there are rent boards in a number of cities down on the peninsula, too?
Yep, they're part of the the city government.
Okay.
Usually, they're a branch of it, and San Francisco has one. Oakland has one, and did you say the other ones do too, Mark?
The only rent control in San Mateo County is in the city of East Palo Alto,
mm-hmm.
but there is considerable agitation going on right now to impose rent restrictions in places like San Mateo and Burlingame, which even a year ago, if you had said that, people would have laughed. But the rents have gone up so much there that. But a good place, if you're looking to avoid all of that, is out in Contra Costa County or the east side of the hills in Alameda County, places like Pleasanton and Livermore, or in Marin County. There's no rent control in places like that.
Huh. Got it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck to you, Kazoo.
Thank you.
All right, we've got Eli. Eli, welcome to the program. Eli, are you there? I guess we lost Eli. All right, let's see. We have...
I don't know, I'm here.
Oh, are you Eli? Okay, right. You're on the air, my friend.
Sorry,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Other phone guy was talking to me.
Yeah,
I live in San Francisco in a multi-unit building, and the owners are all of my neighbors and live next to me. And they, when I moved in 10 years ago, they told me that they had thoughts about tearing the building down eventually, and now they're starting to look at that more seriously. And I'm trying to figure out what I should do to prepare for that, and I don't know if I have any rights in terms of whether they have to pay me to leave or how that works. We're on friendly terms. It's not going to be an adversarial thing, but I'm just trying to figure out how that works.
Generally speaking, in any eviction where it's not a question of fault, they do have to pay you relocation expenses. What you might do is consult the rent board as to what your options are, because again, it's not a straightforward thing. It really depends on what exactly the landlord is doing. If they're going to Ellis the building, you know, get rid of everybody in the place and tear it down. I think the rent board should be your first stop.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, Eli, glad. Thank you very much for calling. Let me see, Martin. Do we have anybody else at this point? Gentlemen, do you have some other comments for people? We have probably in the program maybe another couple of minutes or so. Any sage comments? Mark, you've been doing this for a long, long time.
When the economy is the way it is and rents are as high as they are and building prices being as outrageous as they are, there's real financial pressure on people, both landlords and tenants. The rents are high because landlords have very high mortgage payments. And the only solution is more housing. And we have a bad case of NIMBYism in the Bay Area.
Of what? I'm sorry?
NIMBYism. Everybody says we should have more housing.
Oh.
Just don't build it near me because
yeah.
it might interfere with traffic or parking or who knows what else.
Yeah.
And my response is we need more housing. That's the bottom line.
We do. We do. And that's what's going on with my office in Redwood City, the DA's office. The building there is incredible.
Yeah.
These multiple storied buildings. Redwood City downtown used to be a very pleasant area. Now it's just these,
the whole peninsula. Burlingame is building like crazy.
Frankly, I'm very distressed with the amount of building that's going on, but people have to live somewhere.
Exactly.
That's the point. Your final comments, if you would, Sal. Well,
Chuck, I would just like to thank you for having me on the program.
You're a terrific guest.
Thank you.
Both of these gentlemen are really outstanding in terms of who they are and what knowledge they have, et cetera. And let me give you their phone numbers because I'd like you to have them. Mark Seidenfeld in San Bruno, his number 650-877-8253. Sal Timpano in San Francisco, 415-992-5170. I want to thank both of you very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Chuck.
Great to have you again. Landlord-tenant attorneys Mark Seidenfeld and Salvatore Timpano, great to have you guys here. You've been very gracious all these years with being on the air with me and also doing Call a Lawyer. And so next week, by the way, everybody, in case you're interested, we're going to be doing a discussion on the latest scams, cons, and abuses that threaten all of us. My guest will be Jay White, a San Mateo County Legal Aid Society attorney, and Joe Rideout, manager of Consumer Services for Consumer Action, the National Consumer Services Educational and Advocacy Organization. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Mark McClain. Funding for this program is made possible by the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, the San Mateo County Bar Association, and the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Thank you for joining us on Your Legal Rights, and I hope you join us next time. I'm Chuck Finney. Uh-huh.